University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. Hello and welcome. My name is David Stouffer, and I get to be the recruitment coordinator for the UMSL College of Education. Each week on this podcast, we will meet an innovator in the field of education. We will spend some time getting to know them and learning about their work and how it can help you and yours. It is my sincere hope that this podcast will be a source of encouragement and support as you work to continue impacting lives as an educator. My guest today is Dr. Colette Dixon. Dr. Dixon currently serves as the Associate Provost for Student Success at the University of Missouri St. Louis. She completed her Bachelor of Science in Social Science from Kansas State University in 1998 and later completed her Master of Arts in Personal Counseling from Lindenwood University. She then began her career in higher education at the Ohio University of Osteopathic Medicine as the Assistant Director of Multicultural Programs. Dr. Dixon later returned to St. Louis University, where she completed a PhD in Higher Education Administration. In 2017, Dr. Dixon began her career at UMSL as the Assistant Dean of Student and Alumni Affairs in the College of Nursing. You've had a wide variety of experiences and positions in higher education. Why did you ultimately decide, after all those travels, to come to UMSL?
It was interesting. Again, so as I finished my dissertation proposal, I started to think about future opportunities. And so, interesting enough, I said, I have some time before I graduate, but let me see if I apply for a couple of jobs and see what will land me, what kind of interviews, you know, just to prepare myself for the next steps. So I think over one of the holiday breaks, I applied only to UMSL, and I got an interview. So it was surprisingly, I did my proposal maybe in October, applied to UMSL in around November, interviewed in December, and started working that following February. So surprisingly enough, the skill set that I had earned at working on my doctorate was helpful enough for me to actually start that position as assistant dean.
Okay, so you started as assistant dean, and then what brought about the change to the current role?
I don't know if people remember Beth Eckelkamp, amazing person. Yes. On UMSL campus. Beth is a great mentor to a lot of people, and she and I would talk. And so when the position, when she decided to retire and the position became open, I will tell you, I was kind of hesitant. It's a huge... Working behind Beth is a huge place to fill in, big shoes to fill in. And so it was like, can I do this? And so she's like, oh, yeah, just go for it. You know, we'll see what happens. And so I applied for the position. But, yeah, Beth had been a mentor when I started in my role as assistant dean. And so I still talk to Beth periodically to just get a check-in on, hey, am I headed in the right direction? What should next steps look like periodically? Just to get, you know, she's great. She was here, almost 3 years. Mm-hmm. On this campus, and her footprint's still here. So, she was the inspiration for me to even apply for the position.
Yeah, I remember Beth well. She left and retired soon after I started.
Yeah.
But I remember the first big in-person event I went to after the pandemic was her retirement party.
Okay.
we were all crowded into the conference room over in Woods Hall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was a testament to her.
Right.
And the impact that she had for all those people to come and celebrate her, which I hope for you and I someday we might have that same experience when
so.
We retire, right?
I hope so. I hope we've made those kind of connections with people.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So one of the aspects of your responsibility, Colette, is working with first-year experience and first-generation college students and the initiatives we have for those students. You talk about how that's very important to you and something that you're very, very passionate about. Talk about that work talk about how that important that is to UMSL and your role with that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a first-gen student, so I don't mind sharing that with students, as I mentioned earlier, that, you know, I really didn't understand a lot of things going into college. One of the great things I did have as a foundation was I was a participant of the Bridge program.
Oh, fantastic.
It's been around about 30, I think they said yesterday, about 38 years that we've had the Bridge program on campus. So I did have the opportunity to do the Bridge program, learn how to fill out applications, have a better understanding of the finances needed to go to college. ACT prep, all of that was helpful. But I realized it's very challenging for students making that that transition from high school to college, even if you're not first gen. It's a challenge. I see other students who've had parents go through school changes. It evolves. But making that transition to your freshman year of college and having that confidence that you can do it is important. A lot of times students kind of aren't really sure about what this college thing is about. It's long term. It's a long term commitment of, you know, hunkering down, doing your classwork. We have a lot of students who have been very successful with their high schools who really didn't have to study. And so making that transition, even for those who are high achieving, the first year experience course provides them with that opportunity to make connections with study skills. We talk about careers. They do a Focus 2 survey, which helps them figure out. Some people think of it as a backup plan, but it also looks at your other interests that you have. We're multi-dynamic people, so just because you like business doesn't mean that you're not going to enjoy doing design work. All of that can work out together. And so we give students those opportunities in those courses. And I just even remember my first year experience course when I was in college. I still remember the professor's name. I thought about that. Her name is Dr. Karen Martin, wherever you may be in life now. But that's how impactful my first year experience course was when I was in undergrad. So I wanted I've taught it a couple of years here at UMSL. I'm not teaching it now, but I want to make sure that that course is impactful like that, that you would even remember the name of those instructors who helped you kind of solidify your time on campus. And it also brings about a sense of belonging. You are in classes with people that you may not have ever met on campus for the first time, and you can kind of build those relationships. We also try to include mentors in those courses in addition to the instructors that are there. So those mentors can give you feedback on, hey, this is what this professor's like. And so really trying to build that sense of belonging that goes on beyond that first year is the goal of that first year experience course.
Mm-hmm. We UMSL exists in a community of students who would be first generation college students.
Right.
How do we as UMSL connect with those students and help them find a way? Because a lot of these kids do not consider themselves college students.
Yeah.
They don't see that in their future. How do we as UMSL reach those kids and try to convince them first that it's okay to consider yourself a college student, and then try to get them here to be a first year college student with us?
Yeah, you know, again, one of those outreach activities that, like I said, Bridge was one of those amazing things to actually be on this campus. I can still remember going into some of the buildings on campus and like, wow, this is a college. It's a lot of outreach. It takes a lot of work. We have a lot of pre-collegiate programs that Dr. Shannon Peebles is now over that I think as we, even with our programs within the high schools, I think there's ways that we can move a little bit differently to try to recruit and make sure that those students realize that we could be your first choice. Again, making sure that we open ourselves up to those opportunities, activities on campus. We have a large amount of activities in our student services, our student organizations that are happening, opening up some of those things so that students outside in our neighboring communities realize that this could also be their home.
In the conversations that I've had as the with the College of Education meeting with districts in our geographic area, I know that the one thing that they have asked of us more than anything else is, how can we get our students on your campus?
On your campus, yes.
How can we get our high school and even middle school students mm-hmm. on your campus to see a college campus and to kind of get a vision for seeing themselves here someday?
Right.
And that just speaks to how many of these kids never get that opportunity.
Right.
But getting them here to see that and experience it makes all the difference. So.
And you just brought up something else. I belong to a church in the area, and one of the choir director actually works with students in this area as well. And she mentioned that, you know, one of the prideful things that she does is bring in students, her better choral singers, on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I really appreciate that opportunity to bring them here and show them that, yes, this is a college campus. They can continue to sing. There are other activities on campus. But she really did. We had a conversation not too long ago, and she's like, one of the things I enjoy doing is bringing students to campus so they can see, yes, you can have a music degree, you can have a career. You see, you know, we get caught up into pop culture, but she wanted her students to know the rigors of real of music degrees. And mm-hmm. so she brings them here, and she's like, that is one of the best, the highlights of her academic year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You're also involved in supporting our academic advising departments here at UMSL, providing ways to in turn support our students and the work our advisors do every day. Talk about how important that is, the connection with the students and the advising staff, and what your vision is for continuing that support here at UMSL.
Yeah, this role, the role of the Associate Provost for Student Success is to try to connect those advising offices to ensure that the student experience and advising is similar. So, you know, my goal with that group is I work with the advising leaders. We talk about the technologies that we have available to students, like MyConnect, MyView, different portals that we have that will make their experiences from the student who has a business advisor to the student who has a College of Arts and Science advisor experiences similar. And so in that role, it's just really making sure that we even get information out similarly, communications out to students in the same way. So I help bridge that gap between all the advising offices.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about student success, advising is just one, it's a huge part of student success on campus, but we holistically as a campus, we look at advising, we look at our coaches, we look at our supports in student affairs, we look at our supports in athletics. All of that makes a wonderful student, a holistic student.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're multidimensional people, so we want them to leave with different experiences. So my role is to try to bridge all those gaps and make sure that the students overall have a similar experience. When I think about my vision, really goes back to the vision of campus. We transform lives is still mm-hmm. our motto for this campus, and it's to make sure that we continue to transform lives. We want our students to continue to become increase in social mobility, which we're like number one for the state of Missouri of helping students leave here and have better opportunities in life, making sure the students, when you're thinking about success, also finding success in what that means to them. For me, success is you graduating, making sure you have a great job. Maybe for a student, it's graduating and just having that experience of being on campus, of having that experience of learning something different. So, you know, whatever that student success may also look for, like for those students, I don't want to limit it to just retention and graduation, mm-hmm. which is a huge part of what I look at, but overall experience of just making those connections, becoming a wonderful alumni while they're here, you know, once they're done with being here. So all of that is a part of student success to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my vision, is to help help retain our students as well,
mm-hmm.
Creating ways in which they realize that they're valued here, finding ways to connect financial services with the advising piece, so the students, if they have questions about their finances, maybe they can ask their advisor or connect with their advisor who could connect them to financial services, and they feel open to asking those kind of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way you included the financial side to that. I see students and have conversations with students all the time that desperately want to go to college.
Right.
But they just can't afford it.
Right.
And I know there's all kinds of funding available that were made available during the pandemic, and there's new sources of funding and grants and scholarships. What do you tell a student who wants to come to college and they just can't find those finances? What resources are there that you're aware of? What offices are here at UMSL that they could talk to? What can they do to find a way to afford to go to college these days?
In addition to what we have at UMSL, there's also private scholarships that you can go to the scholarship board and gather that information from. Oh, I can't think of the exact name of it, but there's a scholarship board in St. Louis that also provides private scholarships if students Google private scholarships. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways that, I mean, in addition to student loans, mm-hmm. which I know is become a bad word nowadays, modern times,
yes.
Student loans, but there's student loans, there's work study, mm-hmm. there's also sometimes students are eligible for grants, but and sometimes students will have to work. Mm-hmm. That's my last resort outside working. But, you know, if this is really your passion, I would prefer students came in full time, 15 credit hours. But if this is your passion and you need to decelerate a little bit to get mm-hmm. there, I want you to get there. Mm-hmm. And you never know, just by talking to other people, again, there's scholarships sometimes students don't realize are like faith-based scholarships within churches, community service scholarships that are out there that maybe they just weren't inclined to know about. But mm-hmm. if we get them to a space in which they're comfortable to talk about their finances as advisors or as coaches, then you can kind of explore those different things. Mm-hmm. I actually have a quick story. I had a student, again, she used one of the scholarships. I sent her some scholarship information about she had just moved back to St. Louis, was interested in nursing, said, I don't have the money. And so I sent her a list of private scholarships. When she graduated in December, she reached out to me and said, if you had not done that, I would not be here. I would not have that degree. Full tears when I got the email. I was
awesome.
Like, wow. You know, again, she just didn't know. She's like, I really didn't know. I'm first gen, was overwhelmed, and almost said no, but something told me to just ask you a question, and it worked. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the only thing I asked her to do is pay it forward, continue to share those stories with other people.
But it's nice to be on the other end. You mentioned at the beginning, someone when you were a college student impacted
right.
your life.
Right.
Now you have someone that's going to remember you 20 years from now.
Hey.
And remember Dr. Colette Dixon and the impact that she had on her college career and
wow.
her future. So it's pretty powerful.
That is
it?
Powerful. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
So what's in store for Dr. Colette Dixon? Where do we see Colette in 5-10 years down the road?
5-10 years. You know, one of the things I wouldn't even think of that far down, but 5-10 years, hopefully I can be a bigger philanthropist. One of my goals and intentions, right now I have a child in college, so philanthropy is very limited. But however, when I think about giving back to people, again, that financial piece is huge to me. I would love to have a scholarship that supported students from areas in which those finances weren't readily available. And so 5 or 10 years, give me about 5 or 10 years, and hopefully I have I don't know if I'll call it the Colette Dixon Scholarship Fund, but some type of scholarship fund in the name of my family. That is a huge goal of my to give back in that way.
Well, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I hope wherever you are in 5 to 10 years, it's still here at UMSL. We love having you here, and it's been a pleasure to have you on Triton Talk today. Dr. Colette Dixon, thanks so much for joining us and being on Triton Talk.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
During my conversation with Dr. Dixon, we had a great discussion about scholarships and financial aid that many students will need in order to attend college. In addition to the UMSL Student Financial Services website that contains information about scholarships, financial aid, student loans, and grants, the Scholarship Foundation of St. Louis website contains information about additional scholarships for those seeking to attend college. For more information, visit sfstl.com. www.colettedixon.org. I am honored that you chose to join me today for the University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. I hope you'll join me next time. Till then, I'm David Stouffer. Thank you for the work you do. Never forget, you are making a difference every day.